Let us take our Bibles and let us turn to the New Testament, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 begins on page 983. And let us hear the reading of God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes, I want you to know how great a struggle that I have for you and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen my face, have not seen me face to face, that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Although I am absent in body, I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and firmness in the faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ our Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, which you are also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with Him, having forgiven us our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Thus He has set aside in nailing it to the cross, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in Him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or in regard to a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath. These are shadows of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels and going on about visions and puffed up without reason of their central mind, not holding fast to the head by whom the whole body, nourished and knitted together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. But if you have died with Christ, but if with Christ you have died to the elemental spirits of this world, why, as if it were you still alive to the world, do you submit to regulations like do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teaching? These indeed have the appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but have no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. This morning, as we come to the Scriptures, the passage that I'd like to focus on in some other ones is dealing with this question that is given for us in verse 16. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or in regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. You know, one of the things that as Christians we might say, well, where do you go to church at? And you say, well, I go to the Reformed Church. And people go, the what? You know, and when I first started attending the Reformed Church, I didn't know what they meant by, well, is it Reformed? And after a while, it finally dawned on me what they're referring to. Is it biblical? Is it biblical? In other words, does it follow the Scriptures? You see, What we mean by Reformed is that we mean, does it follow the Bible? Is what you believe and what I believe Reformed by the Word of God? Is it guided by God's Word in what we believe? That's what we mean by Reformed. And so the question is that when we come to the church or when we come to any practice that we have in our life, we ask, is it Reformed? Is it biblical? In other words, how does our life or how does our practice coincide with the Word of God? And so when we come to the fourth commandment, it is clear that God wants us to worship Him weekly. But should it be Saturday or Sunday? You know, when you come to the Scriptures, one of the first things you see is that God created on the first day. And He just calls them by numbers. The first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And then the last day is called the Sabbath. Well, why is it called that? We'll have to look at that. You know, one of the things that I have an interest in, I have an interest in the book of Daniel, and I have an interest in the book of Revelation. And so I joined a group of that was saying that, and I quickly found out that this group was not just all about the book of Daniel. One thing that I found out that this group of people who call themselves Christians accuses anybody that worships on Sunday as practicing the mark of the beast. And they're referring to the mark of the beast in Revelation. And they would say that Constantine, who lived, 300 years after Christ, he changed the day for Christians to worship because they worship the sun. And that's why it's called Sunday. And really? And so it's important for us to ask the question, well, why do we worship on the Sabbath day, since it says in the Scriptures that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and then He took a Sabbath, which what it means that He stopped from creating. You see, when we read the Bible, we'll read the term Sabbath, and that's taken directly from the Hebrew, which is Sabbath. And what does that mean? Well, it means to stop. Because if you look the Greek word up in the Bible, using like the Strong system and stuff, you'll find out that that word, Sabbath, is translated in other places as being stop or to cease. Like in Joshua chapter 22, verse 25, it says this, "For the Lord God made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad. You have no portion in the Lord, so your children might make our children to cease." The Sabbath is what it is, to stop worshiping the Lord our God. And so what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath means to stop. Or it might, like in 2 Kings, verse 23, verse 5, it says to stop is the idolatrous priest from serving by death. In other words, the term for Sabbath is to stop the priest from doing something. Or to stop building the city, like in 2 Chronicles 16. Or to take away something would be another thing, to stop the horses from being used for something. In fact, in the land of Israel, one of the stopping that they were supposed to do is stop planting their crop for at least a year. Every 6 years, they were not to plant any crops at all during the whole year. And they were supposed to basically live off of what was produced the year before that or what the land might produce on its own, but they were not to go out and harvest it. They were just supposed to rely upon God a whole year. And then when the year of Jubilee came, they were supposed to not only stop on that one, but the next one, so that there would be 3 years that they would have to rely upon the food that was produced before. And God said, "He'll make it possible so you can." Now, Israel never did that. Israel never followed that. And so God ended up taking all those years at one time when He exiled them for 70 years from the land. But the term then basically means to stop. It says, the Lord said the land was to enjoy its rest. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 34. You see, the Sabbath is something to be enjoyed. In Exodus chapter 31, in verse 17, it says that the Sabbath is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. Now, when, you know, I witnessed to Muslims on a regular basis, and one of the things they said, well, what, God was tired and He needed to get refreshed? You know, there's always somebody bringing up stuff to mock. And the thing you need to keep in mind is that God was not tired. He was not needing a rest like we do after a hard day at work. Because the rest basically was that He stopped, right? What does that mean that he was refreshed? It means this, that He looked at what He had done and He thought, wow, it's good. That was His refreshment. His refreshment was looking at what He had done and taking glory in it. Finding satisfaction in it. You know, one of the things that I do at work is that, you know, everybody at the railroad gets kind of paid the same, almost the same wage. And so, no matter what you do, and so you have a new guy start there at the railroad, and he gets paid the same amount as I do, even though he doesn't have the experience that I have. And so where's your satisfaction in that, you know? Well, where it is that you basically, at the end of the day, you can say, I got this accomplished. And that's your joy that you have in it. Well, we can look back on the week and say, we got this a joy. Well, God was refreshed because He took pleasure in His work. Reflect upon. Now God gives in His scriptures two reasons for the Sabbath, and one of them is the creation, and we are familiar with that. That God created the heavens and the earth, that He did it in 6 days. He could have done it instantly. He could have just basically spoken and all of it could have been done exactly and perfectly. Or else He could have taken a long time. But He chose to do 6 days like we have so that we can be like Him. You see, God created us to be like God, and so He wants us to pattern our life after what He's done. And so one of the first things for keeping the Sabbath day, as it talks about, it's a sign between the people of Israel and me that I made the heavens and the earth. The Sabbath is a sign. Have you ever thought about it that when people look at your life, that one of the reasons that you stand out is that you go to church? Because there's a lot of people that don't. You see, it's a sign that God is the one who sanctifies you, who changes you. Going to church is a sign that you're seeking to reflect not only upon your own works, but the great works of God and finding satisfaction, enjoyment in Him. You know, sometimes people work all the time and they never take a day off. We call those people workaholics, you know. But the Sabbath is to help us to realize that it's not all up to us about providing for ourselves, but it's up to God. But what's the second reason it's given for the Sabbath? Do you remember that one? You know, in the Old Testament, in Exodus, it says, "For God created you, created." That God created everything in 6 days and then He took the Sabbath. But you know the second place that the law is given is in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it pretty much follows the same thing like in Exodus. It says this, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, nor your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your ox or your donkey, your livestock, the sojourner that is within your gate, that you and the male servant and your female servant may rest also." And then the reason is given. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You notice here nothing is said. Nothing is said about the creation in this one. It's about the work of God in redeeming them from Egypt. You see, and so there's two reasons that are given. The creation and then the redemption from Egypt. But you need to always remember that what Christ taught us in the Scriptures, that when we go to read the Old Testament, we need to always ask the question, how does this talk about Christ? Because the Sabbath day is to point to Christ. You see, there's going to be a greater work than God's creation that He was going to do. There's going to be a better work than Him creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. There's going to be something more wonderful than Him creating everything that you see in 6 days. And there's going to be something more important than what He has created, what He has done through redeeming the children of Israel from Egypt. And that is that He was going to die for you and me. That He was going to redeem His people. But how should we keep the day of rest? Isaiah says, if you turn your foot back from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way, seeking your own pleasure, talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and you shall ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord is spoken. That comes from Isaiah 58, verse 13. God said, keep the Sabbath day holy, to set it apart, calling it a delight, something to be enjoyed. To take delight in praising God in prayer and song, rejoicing in what He's done for you, learning from the Bible what He's done for you, and actively giving to others to help. But does it matter which day you worship, whether it's Saturday or Sunday? You see, that's the reason why the Sabbath is called a shadow in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. It's a shadow because ultimately the shadow is pointing to something more important, and the reality is Jesus Christ. Saturday is to point to the work of Christ, that it was done and it was completed on Resurrection Day. Jesus says in the Scriptures, come to me, all you who are labor or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you the Sabbath. You see, the rest that each one of us needs, more than just the Sabbath or Sunday, we need Christ. Because none of us keeps God's law perfectly, and God expects you to keep God's law perfectly because He created you such that you should be able to keep it perfectly, but you don't, and I don't. And that's the reason why we have to rest in His righteousness, in His Sabbath that He gives to us, because the Sabbath points to Christ, that He's going to give us His righteousness by faith alone. People who want to keep the Sabbath so that they make sure that they're doing God's work and they're looking at their own works will never keep the Sabbath, because the ultimate Sabbath is resting in Christ. The Sabbath was given for a time, until the time of Reformation, as it says in Hebrews. Chapter 9, verse 9, where it says, according to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered can never make perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but only deal with food and drink and various washings and regulations of the body imposed until the time of Reformation. There's going to be a change that comes about with the coming of Christ. The Sabbath was to be changed. Why? Because the new creation was going to begin with Jesus Christ. You know, if you're worshiping on Saturday, you're thinking about the old creation. Jesus is saying that I am the new creation. And where does it say that? It says that in the Gospel of John, if you remember, in the Old Testament, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you go to read John, and it starts off with that whole thing. And then the first thing that God does on the first day is that He creates the light. And then the thing you have in John is that you have in the Gospel of John that Jesus is the light of the world. It's the new creation. The old creation that is there is having the new creation break in on it through the work of Christ. And that work is finished by Christ on the resurrection day. And it's because of that work of Christ that we don't have to observe days and months and seasons like the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians saying, I am afraid that I have labored over you in vain because you're keeping all these Old Testament laws rather than resting in Christ alone for your salvation. And that's the reason why God gave us the freedom in the New Testament, as it says in Romans, that one person esteems one day as better than the other, and another one esteems all days alike. Everyone should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it for the Lord. And the one who does not observe it observes it from the Lord. So we find the Scriptures, we don't find the term Sunday in the Scriptures. You won't find that. What you'll find is the term the first day of the week. And it says this, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw the stone had been taken away. And then on John chapter 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, you see, that's when the Sabbath was fully realized in Christ. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, the suffering was done. But the fullness of our redemption was accomplished on Sunday, that we might be raised with Him in glory. And so you'll have these examples of the Apostle Paul worshiping on Sunday, like in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. In Acts chapter 20, it says, on the first day of the week, when we're gathered together to break bread, Paul talked to them and did intending to part the next day, but he prolonged his speech until midnight. The breaking of the bread is communion. He was preaching to them on the first day of the week. He was telling them about Christ. They were worshiping on the first day of the week. Now the Apostle Paul, when he went to the Jews, he would of course go to them on the Sabbath day that they were used to. But ultimately that day was going to change because of the work of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, on the first day of the week, each of you are to put something aside up in store, as he may prosper. The first day of the week, we're talking about Sunday there. You see, he's referencing Sunday. And so the Apostle John connects that original creation with the coming of Jesus. And we partake of that new heavens and the new earth when you believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You partake in that new creation that God is promising in this life. And now we don't fully see what it's going to be like. We see still that death is involving in our life, but He has planted a seed within us that is going to come to fruition. When we see Christ, that we'll be like Him. We'll never sin again and we'll never die because we've seen Christ. And thus the first creation, you see the first reason given for the Sabbath is because of the creation. God is focusing our attention. The reason why we keep Sunday is because God is focusing us that new creation was finished in Christ and you're partakers of that. So our celebration of Sunday is basically looking to Christ and saying, He has finished it. And I look forward to the day when He's going to take me and completely transform this body of clay to be perfect before the Lord. But remember that second reason that was given for the Sabbath was the redemption from Egypt? And that's what Jesus done for us at the resurrection. We were slaves to sin. But Christ redeemed us. He freed us from that. So the second reason that is given is that Christ was going to come and free us from sin. Christ came to free you from the penalty of sin. He came to free you from the bondage of sin. And He's asking you to come to Him in faith and to trust in Him. So one is the creation, the other one is the freedom of slavery of sin. And these two types then are is the types that are basically the shadow, but the substance belongs to Christ. In our Reformed Catechism it says, what is required in the fourth commandment? In the first place, God wills that the ministry of the gospel in schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the day of rest, diligently attend church to learn the Word of God, to use the Holy Sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, to give Christian alms. In the second place, that I rest from my evil works and allow the Lord to work in me by His Spirit, and thus begin in this life the everlasting Sabbath. In other words, we start to rest in Christ. And since we're resting in Christ, we start to follow Him and how He called us to live. You see, Constantine didn't change the day of worship. He only recognized the common practice that was going on in the history of the church. You know, one of the things that I like to read is I like to read the early church fathers because it gives me a perspective on things. There's a guy by the name of Justin, and they refer to him as Martyr because not that his last name was Martyr. He was martyred. He died for the faith. He was born in Neapolis around 100 A.D. In other words, the time close to the last apostle died about 100 A.D. That was John. He was converted to Christianity somewhere around 130 A.D. He was a Christian apologist and he taught and defended Christianity in Asia Minor and Rome. And he suffered martyrdom in Rome in 165 A.D. In his first apology, which is the oldest non-New Testament record that we have of how Christians worship and conducted liturgy. Let me just read a small portion of that. It says, on the day called Sunday, all who live in the city or in the country are gathered together in one place, and the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. And then when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts us to imitate these good things. And then he says in another place, but Sunday is the day which we all hold our common assembly, because it's on the first day which God wrought a change in the darkness and matter in the world, and Jesus Christ our Savior on the same day arose from the dead. You see how he connects the two together, that first creation and the second, new creation. And then he says this, he was crucified on the day before that, the day of Saturn. That's where we get the term Saturday from. It's from Saturn. They had Saturn's day. And then they had the Sunday for Sun's day. And on the day of the Son, having appeared to His apostles and the disciples, He taught them these things which we've submitted to you for your thing. And so in the Reformed Church, basically, the question is how do you view Sunday? Do we view it as strictly as the Jews did? Or do we view it a little bit looser? In the Presbyterian view, the Presbyterian basically looked at it that these things were basically almost that we keep it religiously like the Jews should. That's how the Presbyterians, the Reformed, because of the verses that I read to you, like Colossians and like in Romans 15, viewed it this way, like in the Second Helvetic Confession, and maybe you're not familiar with the Second Helvetic Confession, but it was the other confession that the Reformed Church, the German Reformed Church, had translated into German. That was one of their confessions. That in speaking of holy days or days, it says, although religion is not bound to time, yet it cannot be cultivated and exercised without a proper distribution of the arrangement of time, and that every church therefore chooses for itself a certain time for public prayers, for the preaching of the gospel, for the celebration of the sacraments, and no one's permitted to overthrow the appointment of the church at his own pleasure. For unless some due time and leisure is given for the outward exercise of religion, without a doubt men would be drawn away by their own affairs. In other words, that's one of the things, the reason why we hold that we need together on a weekly basis, because we're so busy. And hence that in the ancient churches there were not only certain hours of the week appointed for meetings, but also on the Lord's Day itself, ever since the apostles' time. That's the reason why I read you that passage from Justin Martyr, is because it was 150 A.D. 50 years after the apostles, they were worshiping on Sunday. But we do not believe, he goes on, we do not yield to the Jewish observant and superstitions. You know, one of the Jewish superstitions was, well, in the Old Testament it says that you should not go out of your own place on the Sabbath day. And so the Jews, needing to go to, what they did is they made a rope from their house all the way around all the other Jews so that they could go out. They called that rope part of their house. And so it's not that type of superstitions. So we do not believe one day is holier than another, and think the rest itself is acceptable to God. Moreover, we celebrate the Lord's Day and not the Sabbath as a free observance, that we choose to follow God in this way. It's out of thankfulness. And you know, that's the reason why in the Reformed Church we've never had a problem with worshiping about Christmas or about New Year's. Why? Because these are free observances that you can choose whether or not to worship on Sunday or on Christmas or Christmas Eve or some of these other things like the Ascension of Christ. These are free observances. But yeah, we need to think about how we will honor the Lord, because He has called us to spend time remembering Him. You know, as I'm studying this, one of the persons in Scotland wrote concerning the Sabbath. He says, here in Scotland, we follow the historic Scottish observance, and here's how he describes it. We do not use public transportation, go to the shops, watch TV, listen to the radio, use the phone, the internet, or go for unnecessary walks. The Koreans, however, have a different approach to the Sabbath. They basically go to church every day. And when I was at seminary, I experienced some of this Korean-type worship. They basically would go to church or to work 2 hours before, 1 hour to read the Bible to get the promises in the Scriptures, and then the next hour to pray God's promises back to Him. And if you ever heard a Korean praying in Korea, they all pray at the same time. They pray out loud, and it's intense, like they're playing ping pong. They do it freely. They do it out of their heart and thankfulness to God. And so every day we're to seek out the faces of the saints and examine them and exhort them. You know, one of the things that early church father like Barnabas, that's what he said, every day you should seek it out. Ignatius said, frequently in the same place the powers of Satan are shaken. Then the apostolic constitutions, basically, which talked about, it's a compilation, it says we gather every day for worship, and then especially on the Lord's Day we gather. And so we have a freedom in Christ to choose how we are to worship God, but He also makes sure that you need to at least do it on a regular basis, because, you know, we'll get so busy we just forget to go. We'll forget God. And so I think the Sabbath day of having a Sabbath rest helps us to remember what God has done. You see, the reason why we come here is to be reminded of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, so that we might rest in Christ's righteousness. The Saturday, or the first Sabbath that was given, pointed to the creation, but it pointed further to a better thing of recreation, a redemption from the slavery of sin. Now, if you're a believer, you need to ask yourself, how am I honoring the Lord? Should I do more? Am I doing enough? Am I spending time knowing the Lord. You know, one of the advantages that we have in this modern day is that we can listen to Christian radio and be encouraged by the Word of God every day. And be in prayer. But especially on Sunday that we attend church. But if you are not a believer here, if you have not trusted in Christ, I plead with you that you would find your rest in Christ. Because we can never keep God's law perfectly. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you are troubled and weighed down, and I will give you rest." Are you tired of your sin? Are you tired of your disobedience from God? Are you tired of the guilt that comes when you disobey God? Come to Christ and find your rest in Him. Do not make a delay. I plead with you that you would find Christ as your only Sabbath in this world. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." I pray that you find your Sabbath in Christ. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we're thankful to you that you created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. You gave us a pattern of how we should live our life. You further gave us a pattern that you're going to redeem the people of Israel from the slavery of Egypt. But you're going to do something even greater. You're going to take people who are stained with sin, who are corrupted by a sin nature, and you're going to recreate them so that we become like Christ. So that when we see Christ, we'll be like Him. And so we find that new creation on Sunday, on the first day of the week, when you came into this world and you were raised from the dead. And not only did you redeem Israel from the slavery of Egypt, you redeemed us from the slavery of sin. Lord, help us to live in that new redemption that you provided for us by faith. And Lord, if there are people here among this congregation that have not believed and trusted in Christ, I ask and I plead before the throne of grace that you would work in their hearts that they might find their rest in the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, that they might find their Sabbath in Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.